मोकम करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्येश्वरं. So till now we have seen the pastime of Amrish Maharaj, where it came up to. Durvasa Muni comes to the house of Amrish Maharaj, Atithi, uninvited guest. And just imagine Atithi comes and he curses you. This is what he did. He came uninvited and just he cursed. He curses, and that too, this curse was not a normal curse. He created a fiery demon. And Amrish Maharaj, being a completely dependent servant of Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was least bothered. And since he was least bothered, he was completely dependent, completely surrendered, Krishna protected. Krishna sent his Sudarshan Chakra. Oh, there is one photo also. Sudarshan Chakra running behind Durvasa Muni. It just opened. And here, Sudarshan Chakra is, Durvasa Muni is creating the fiery demon. And Amrish Maharaj is standing with the folded hands. So in this way, we see that when it comes to Amrish Maharaj, he was just standing with the folded hands. And Sudarshan Chakra comes to protect Amrish Maharaj. And when Sudarshan Chakra comes there and kills or burns the fiery demon, Durvasa Muni gets in anxiety and he starts running for his life. And he runs everywhere in all the three planetary systems. Then finally he goes to Brahmaloka, asking Brahma to help. Brahma says no. Then he goes to Shiva. Shiva says no. Finally, when he understood, no one can help me, then he went to the personality called Narayan at Vaikuntha. When he goes to Vaikuntha, there he sees that Lord Narayan, he's receiving him. But then when Durvasa Muni starts speaking about or requesting for the protection, so that time Lord Narayan says that I cannot do anything because sadhubir grastaradayo, my heart has been captured by sadhus. And one such sadhu whom you have cursed is Amrish Maharaj. And then he goes on speaking, you know, various verses which says, oh Durvasa, this is the reason I cannot help you. Next verse he says, and then he says, oh Durvasa, this is the reason I cannot help you. In fact, he goes on to say, I'm not qualified to help you. Only person who can help you now in this particular situation is Amrish, whom you have cursed. Go to Amrish. Go to Amrish and beg forgiveness, and Amrish will forgive you for sure. Why? Because Amrish is my devotee. So much of confidence, no? So much of confidence that Lord has is on his servants. When it comes to us, I don't think Lord will have so much of confidence on us. Before he'll think twice before, you know, saying, you know, go to Kartikeya, he'll give you something. He will think twice. I'm telling this to this person, but what does the guarantee this conditioned soul will give? Right. So that is what is the difference between us and Amrish Maharaj. And so with that confidence, Lord is saying to Durvasa, go. He will forgive you because he is my devotee. And now, finally, we move on to chapter 5. I never thought we'll go to chapter 5. It's inconceivable mercy of the Lord. We covered 71 verses. 71 verses in last 12 days. And today on the 13th day, we are moving to the first verse of chapter 5. Chapter is titled as Durvasa Muni's Life Spared, text 1. Translation. Shukadeva Goswami said, when thus advised by Lord Vishnu, Durvasa Muni, who was very much harassed by Sudarshan Chakra, immediately approached Maharaj Amrish. Being very much aggrieved, the Muni fell down and collapsed the king's lotus feet. He went and he held the lotus feet of Amrish Maharaj. Then text 2 says, when Durvasa touched his feet, Amrish Maharaj was very much ashamed. And when he saw Durvasa attempting to offer prayers because of mercy, he was aggrieved even more. Thus, he immediately began offering prayers to great weapon of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, these two verses are so nice to discuss. You see what Durvasa Muni did. Durvasa Muni cursed Amrish Maharaj. Amrish Maharaj didn't do anything. He just drank a little water, just to give pleasure to Supreme Personality by completing the Ekadashi fast. And Durvasa Muni curses him without any reason. And just imagine, even when he has cursed Amrish Maharaj, Amrish Maharaj was still waiting for Durvasa Muni to come back. And the entire thing took 1 year. Durvasa Muni going from Amrish Maharaj's palace and coming back again took 1 year. And Amrish Maharaj is waiting. And now Durvasa Muni comes and he holds the feet of Amrish Maharaj. When the feet of Amrish Maharaj was held by Durvasa Muni, Amrish Maharaj is feeling very bad. Very bad. When I was reading this, now for the first time I was meditating. If we would have been there on the position of Amrish Maharaj, and if some Atithi would have done this to us, we would have laughed. Now the time has come. Now the destiny has got back to you. Rub your nose on my feet and then I'll forgive you. In fact, we might go on to say, I'll never forgive you for what you have done. Get lost from here. Oh, Sudarshan, kill him. This is what is the difference between a Baddha Jiva like us and a Mukta Jiva like Amrish Maharaj. Amrish Maharaj is a pure devotee. And you know, when it comes to devotees, devotees don't like to get glorification. Here you see, Durvasa Muni held the feet of Amrish Maharaj and he was about to glorify Amrish Maharaj. And as soon as Amrish Maharaj got to know that this person is about to glorify me, immediately he started offering prayers to Sudarshan Chakra. Because he knew why Durvasa Muni has come here and why he's going to glorify. So before he started glorifying, he started offering prayers to Sudarshan Chakra saying, please spare Durvasa Muni. We'll see the prayers, what he offered. So this aspect of devotees is very nice. Devotees don't like to take glorification for themselves. Why? Because devotees understand everything that exists in this world is just a fragment of Supreme Personality of Godhead, just a part of Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, Krishna is telling himself to Arjuna about this. He says, Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam srimad urji tamevava tat tat evava gacchatvam mama tejomsha sambhava. Oh Arjuna, whatever you see in this world, whatever splendorous thing you see in this world, whatever magical thing you see in this world, everything that you're seeing is just mama tejomsha sambhava, my amsha, just the fragmental part of my splendor, O Arjuna, whatever you're seeing. Now you see, we get so enamored and we get so carried away by people who are very good looking, people who are very handsome or beautiful. And in fact, it has been seen that people who are celebrities, who are called as celebrities, and people who are really well-to-do, there are lots of people, lots of followers to them. And they are ready to give their life, you know, to such people. When one such pop singer, he died, there were so many people who committed suicide. When one of the pop singer, he was singing on the, I think I've told this in my multiple classes, when he was singing on the stage, suddenly Paramatma within inspired him. You know what he did? He urinated on the audience. And the audience was so crazy, they were coming closer, they were stampede there. Why stampede? Not to run away from there. Stampede was to come more closer to the stage to get that urine drops on their head. So you can imagine how much people are crazy. And what are people crazy about? People are crazy about the opulence that people have. There are six kinds of opulences. First is wealth. So wealthy people are the ones, at least in the age of Kali, they are very, very attractive, very attractive. Even if they are really ugly in looks, still they're very attractive because their pockets are full. Their pockets are very attractive. There's so many people now will be following them. So wealthy people are very attractive. Second, people who are beautiful. So people who are beautiful are naturally very attractive. Even if you don't know anything about the person and you just look at the person, if the person is beautiful or handsome, naturally people are ready to surrender their lives to them. They'll go, autograph please, and so on and so forth. There are people who have written letters to celebrities, beautiful, handsome celebrities, with their own blood. With their own blood. There are so many cases like that. There are people who are so crazy about some celebrities, they with knife, they write the name of that celebrity on the hand. People are so crazy about these celebrities, they try to enact like celebrities. They try to dress themselves as celebrities. We have so many duplicate people, duplicate celebrities. And they look exactly the same, almost the same like the original one. Why? People are crazy. People are literally crazy. The people are very beautiful. So wealthy, beauty, beautiful, strong. People are very strong. Again, many, many people follow them. Why? Because of the opulence of being strong. And we see, at least in my childhood, no, we would see those wrestling matches. Whatever, WWF, which became WWE later. I don't know currently what it is. It was just one person banging another person on the ground. Now taking the staircase, hitting the person. Taking the table, hitting the person. Don't know what enjoyment was there in that, but still we used to enjoy, you know, looking at that. And then we used to have our favorites also in that. Oh, this person is very nice. And then we had cards. Now, I remember in the childhood, there were some cards, you know, which like almost play cards. And there, the weight of the person, biceps, triceps, and chest, other measurements were given. And the photo of the person. And then people would exchange. And people would play with that. You can imagine such mad people are existing, right? And then we have wealth, beauty, strength, then fame. Anyone who is famous, people are crazy about that person. In fact, nowadays, looking at the famous people, people want to become famous. Now people see, oh, by making a YouTube video, such person is becoming famous. Let me also make a YouTube video. Let me make my Facebook profile like this. Let me put my photo in this particular situation so that, you know, more likes will come. More people will like and comment. In fact, there are people who say also in their posts, they would say that, if you like this photo, please comment. Please share and like and comment. Shameless people. Their own photo, they want likes. So people want to become famous. Why? It is just the spa. Because it's one of the opulence. And it attracts. It attracts. I see even small kids, you make a video of the small kid and show the same video to the small kids. They'll feel so happy. So happy they feel, oh, okay, I'm here. In fact, I remember once what we did was we played one of the video of the child on the TV. And then we brought the child and we were telling the child, look, you're there on the TV. You're so happy. You're so happy. In fact, another incident was something had happened and the news reporters had come to report. So what that news reporter was doing was, he took the interview of the concerned person. I was also present in that place. And then he switched off the camera, but the flashlight was on. So the big camera I'm talking about. And then he took the camera, the flashlight is on, and then he was just moving the camera to the audience who was there around. Like many people were assembled there, many people were there watching what is happening. And when he was moving his camera, people were giving poses to that. People are like feeling, oh yes, we will also come. We will also come in the TV channel and so on and so forth. Why people do all this? Because they are themselves attracted to a person who is famous, and since they're attracted to that person, they also want to become like that person. Opulence. Fame is an opulence which attracts a person. Wealth, beauty, strength, fame, knowledge. Even people who have knowledge, they are very, very attractive. Very, very attractive. They're so attractive that people literally go and surrender to them as disciples. Like scientists and others, you know, people are really there. They have a lot of respect for them. And they want to become like them. Many, many people are there. You know, they have this desire that I want to be like this great knowledgeable personality. And parents also sometimes give examples saying, you should become like this knowledgeable personality. It's an opulence. Knowledge is the opulence by which a person gets attracted and wants to become like them. Then the next one is renunciation. Even renunciation is opulence. A person who is very renounced, even he becomes very, very attractive. Many people come and surrender to that person, becoming their disciples. See, even renunciation is an opulence. But one thing that we have to understand is, in this world, all these opulences that I just mentioned, the six opulences, wealth, beauty, strength, fame, then what else? Strength, I mentioned. And then renunciation. Janma, not Janma, Aishwarya. What is that shloka? Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashashashriyaha jnana vairagyos chaiva sannam bhaga. I think these are the six opulences. Okay, knowledge. So these are the six opulences which people get attracted to. And we will see that none of them can be called as fully knowledgeable, fully wealthy, the topmost personality. No. Can we call anyone that this personality is the most beautiful person? Most beautiful. We can never say that no one can defeat the beauty of this person. Never. We can never say that he is the most strongest person on earth. Never. Because there's always a comparison here, and everyone, all of us, in fact, we all have got minute qualities of these. All of these six opulences are there, even in us, in minute quantities. And we see these things make us very, very attractive. Once these things are removed, you know, from the person, gone, you know, the person will not at all be attractive. So in this way, we understand in this world, these opulences exist, but these opulences are very, very minute in each and every person. And Krishna says, whatever opulence you see, Arjuna, in this world, these are just spark of my splendor. Just a spark. So there's huge fire and a spark comes out of it. That spark Krishna is talking about. And Krishna is that fire. Krishna is that fire having these all opulences in full. And this is the definition of Bhagavan. Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yasa yasha shriyaha jnana vairagyoschaiva sannam bhaga itingana. Anyone who has the six opulences which we just talked about to the fullest, that person is Bhagavan. That person, this is the definition of Bhagavan given in Shastra. So now, here when Amrish Maharaj is having this quality of renunciation, having this quality of wealth, even beauty, and since he was a king, you know, he was famous, he was knowledgeable in Vedic scriptures, he was strong, but still this person was feeling very, very, very annoyed, and he was feeling very much ashamed when Durvasa Muni came and he touched the feet and he was about to glorify. Because always a devotee understands that whatever I have, all these things, whatever I have is just a spark of the splendor of the Lord. It doesn't actually, it's not mine, I don't own it. If Lord desires, he can just take it away. Now just imagine if you are very proud of our beauty, some person comes and put acid on the face. Done. Beauty gone. The beauty, in fact, the person is most beautiful, but that acid, the person becomes most ugly. There's so many cases like that. See? And the person who is very, very strong, if he is very, very much puffed up because of that, and if suppose, you know, that person gets Parkinson's disease, where he cannot pick up even his own milk cup, actually teacup, coffee cup, but we don't speak about that, so we're saying milk. Milk cup, we cannot speak of the milk cup also, or a water cup also. What is the use of such strength, right? So the point that I'm trying to make is that there is no point in becoming proud of anything. And there is no point of taking glorification for oneself. There's no point. Because it is seen that all the glorification that the person offers, like suppose we have done something great and a person is offering glorification to us. So at that time, you know, we understand that glorification is not to us. The glorification is to the opulence that we are having currently. And whom does the opulence belongs to? Belongs to Krishna. So whom does the glorification go, should go? It should go to Krishna. So where are we in between? We are nowhere. Right? So the point that I'm making here is that whenever the glorification is offered to us, instead of becoming proud, you know, we should become very grateful to Krishna that, oh Krishna, you've given me these qualities. But actually this glorification that is offered to me is not actually to me, it's to the opulences that I have got. And I understand these opulences are just the spark of your splendor, O Krishna. So even this glorification that this person is offering is actually for you. Please accept. So in this way, whenever a devotee is glorified, he accepts the glorification, but then he passes on the glorification to Guru and Krishna, because they are the actual owners of the glorification, not we. So in this way, this is the mood of a devotee. A devotee doesn't like to get the glorification. No. Because a devotee understands this glorification will make me proud, and Krishna does not like proud people. Krishna doesn't like proud people. Are what to talk about us? Even when the, you know, very close devotee of his, the very close devotees, gopis, when they got a tinge of pride, Krishna left them in the middle of the night. And then Krishna left even Srimati Radharani. You know, that particular, there was a festival that was happening, and Krishna left them, everyone together. He just left and he just went from there. And all the gopis and Srimati Radharani, they started singing, you know, songs to get back Krishna wherever he is. And they're calling him, please come back. Please come back where you are. Please come back. Tinge of pride. And that to transcendental pride, not the pride like ours. So their pride was, oh, Krishna is only with me. Only this thought came in their mind. Krishna is only with me. This thought, and Krishna is like, no, you are proud. I cannot be with you. You just left. Now just imagine. We don't have that pride. We have different pride altogether. I am this. I am that. They at least had a pride of what? Krishna is with me. So this is a very nice thing. It's a good thing to be proud of. But for us, our pride is, I can do this. I can do that. This is mine. This is what I own. And we are proud of all that. Yes. Now just imagine how abominable that is. And Krishna will never like proud people. Never. He doesn't like proud people. What he likes is, he likes those people who are humble. Those people who are down to earth. You take up any example in the past who are very close to Krishna, they were all very, very humble. Extremely humble. Extremely humble. You take up Hanuman. In one of the pastimes, Hanuman came there and everyone was glorifying Hanuman. But Hanuman, it hardly affected Hanuman. Hanuman was just folding his hands, standing, looking at Lord Ram. I was just thinking that, no, this personality is so detached. Because this personality is completely humble, understanding, oh Lord, everything belongs to you. These people are just trying to dissuade me from the path of bhakti. And all the people who glorify us, you know, they're just agents of Maya. They're agents of Maya trying to make us proud. Now when devotees glorify us, you know, we shouldn't say they're agents of Maya. They can be also, but it's their greatness that even in the garbage, they're able to find a diamond. Right? We are not less than a garbage, right? The entire body is like garbage only. The heart is filled with garbage. And if some devotee is glorifying us, then we have to understand how great that devotee is. Right? Because in this garbage also, that person is able to find a diamond and is glorifying with five mouths. This is the beauty of a devotee. So when a devotee glorifies, we should understand what is his greatness. But internally, we should also understand that, okay, but whatever he's praising does not belong to me. Better I not take it to my heart and take it to my mind. Once I do that, I'll be very, very proud. And once I'm proud, forget it. Krishna will run away. Krishna will not stay with me. I'll never be able to attain Krishna. So it is said, the person who wants to get taste in chanting. Now all of us, we are trying to chant, but we don't have taste in chanting, right? Somehow, you know, we complete our rounds. And sometimes, you know, people chant, you know, one finger is out of the bead bag. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So it's like, this is called as bullet chanting. So somehow we want to complete because we don't have taste, right? And suddenly the, you know, mobile light, it starts blinking. And you know, in one hand, bead bag is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Why? Because we don't have taste in chanting. Once we have taste in chanting, like for example, when I was giving this teenage class, I was telling the teenagers, they had this question, Prabhu, we get distracted a lot. Can you please tell us how to overcome distraction? So we had a 1-hour session on overcoming distractions. So that I was telling, so when a person is sitting and watching a movie, even if there's a bomb blast, the person's eyes will not blink. You know, it's just fixed. Or another graphic example will be, India-Pakistan match is going on, last 3 balls and 6 runs needed. Every ball, the way it is bowled by the bowler and cricket captain, he's batting. So all the Indians, they will be just glued on to the TV. And even if someone is dying out there, they would say, tell that person to wait for some time. Later he can die. 3 balls remaining. That is the mood. Completely glued because there's so much of taste to that particular thing. There's so much of interest to that particular thing. Tell me, have we ever slept while eating? Eating. But while reading, we sleep. While chanting, we sleep. By hearing lectures, we sleep. And when you hear lectures like, speakers of me, then for sure you go to sleep. I wonder, there are 52 people. How many of you are actually listening to me? So in this way, since we don't have taste for all these things, automatically we go to sleep or we are distracted. But when we have taste for something, we don't get distracted. But now the question is how to get that taste. How to get that taste for chanting. Do you want to know how to get taste for chanting? Only way we can get taste for chanting. Only way. The third shloka of Chaitanya Shikshastakam. This says, Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnunam amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Who can chant continuously? The ones who has taste. Only the one who is having taste, he can chant continuously. But now, what is the qualification for kirtaniya sadahari, for continuous chanting or getting taste? Three qualities which we all have to hanker for and try to imbibe. Trinadapi sunichena, he says. Trina. Trina means grass, blade of grass. One has to be more humbler than the blade of grass. Big thing, this is very big thing. It's very easy to be proud, but to be humble is very, very difficult. Very difficult. To accept glorification is very easy. To glorify someone else, very, very difficult. So one has to be more humble than the blade of grass. Like, for example, when the blade of grass is stabbed. So it doesn't resist. No, it just goes down and automatically it comes up later. It doesn't resist the person. Right? And this line says, more humbler than the blade of grass. Next, Trinadapi sunichena taror api sahishnunam. More tolerant than a tree. Now you see, tree goes to so much of different weather conditions, right? It rains, tree standing there. It's sunny, the tree standing there. It's windy, the tree standing there. And even when the person comes to cut the tree is giving shade to that person. After getting tired, after cutting the tree half, the person sleeps under that tree only. When he gets hungry, he plugs the fruit from the same tree and eats and starts cutting again. And the tree is so tolerant. That tolerance is needed. That tolerance is needed. Not that tolerance, more tolerant than a tree. Wow, this is like too much, no? And the last line says, Amanina Manadena. Amanina Manadena means giving respect to all others who are around us. And not expecting any respect in return. Means someone does something, you still you respect that person. And you don't expect any respect, no, the other way, the other side. So when the person gets these three qualifications, Trinadapi sunichena, humbler than the blade of grass, tarorapi sahishnam, more tolerant than a tree, and amanina manadena, giving respect to all others and expecting none in return, kirtaniya sadahari, such a person can chant continuously with taste. So this is the qualification. This is the qualification. So in this way, you know, we understand that this glorification and other things which are there, no, it's of no use. No use. It is just, you know, it will make the person proud and slowly the person will go out of bhakti. Slowly the person will go out of bhakti. In this way, you know, all of us have to always be vigilant that this glorification that is offered is not to me. Externally, we accept saying thank you very much. You know, you're so kind that even in a garbage, you are able to find a diamond. Thank you very much. And then within, we offer that glorification to Sri Guru and Gauranga, saying that without your mercy, I can never ever get this glorification. All this glorification belongs to you. And see that is the mood of Amrish Maharaj. Amrish Maharaj does not want to take glorification of Durvasana. Does not want to take glorification of Durvasana. Right? For us, when someone glorifies, for here Amrish Maharaj is feeling ashamed. He's feeling that glorification is poison, so he does not want to hear. For us, that glorification is like nectar. Aha! Go ahead, even more, and more, and more. Oh, that's it? I'll tell you my glories. Then you can glorify me more. And our ears are completely open, literally wide open. Tell me more, I want to hear more, tell me more, more and more. And there is, you know, in the heart, There are lots of, in Hindi we say, man mein laddu phuta. So there are a lot of nice things that are happening in the heart. The person is feeling so blissful, so blissful. This is the difference between a devotee and a demon. So one devotee here in the ashram, he was telling me that, Prabhuji, I'm a demon actually. I'm not a devotee. Why I'm a demon? Because anyone who glorifies me, I feel very happy. Then I told him, that, Prabhu, you're so nice, you're so humble. See, Prabhu, now also I'm feeling happy. I'm a demon. This is the difference. This is the difference between the two. A devotee is the one who feels every glorification as if someone is putting hot molten iron in the ear. It is enough. No, I cannot hear this more. Whereas a non-devotee or a demon is the one who feels more, please. And in fact, the person stops. You don't know much about me. Come and attend my class. I'll tell you. I'll tell you my glories. I'll give a class on my glories. So in this way, this is the position of Ambarish Maharaj. In every class, we are understanding what do we mean by a devotee. Every class, we are understanding what do we mean by a devotee. Next time when we say that I'm a devotee, all these points should come to our mind. Then automatically we'll understand, no, I'm not a devotee, I'm a practicing devotee. I've not yet become a devotee, I'm a practicing devotee. But one day, for sure, I'll become a devotee because I'm following very bona fide process of chanting Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Since I'm following bona fide process given by a bona fide personality, Srila Prabhupada, which comes in the parampara of Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, for sure one day I'll become a devotee and attain Krishna. That is the only hope for all of us. Right? And then Ambarish Maharaj started offering beautiful prayers to Sudarshan Chakra. Now, you know, when we go in front of the Lord, sometimes we wonder what prayers to offer. So these are the prayers, you know, that we can offer, you know, to the Lord when we go in front of the Lord. Text 3. Maharaj Ambarish said, O Sudarshan Chakra, you are fire, you are the most powerful sun, and you are the moon, the master of all luminaries. You are water, earth, and sky. You are the air. You are the five sense objects, and you are the senses also. So basically, this means everything comes from you. This is what is the prayer, you know, it means. Text 4. Text 4. O most favorite of Achyuta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you have thousands of spokes. O master of material world, destroyer of all weapons, original vision of Supreme Personality of Personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisance unto you. Kindly give shelter and be auspicious to this Brahmana. Now he's calling, O most favorite of Achyuta, O most favorite of Krishna or Vishnu. This is what he's saying. So Sudarshan Chakra, now he has two roles. He's a devotee also, at the same time, he's Supreme Personality also. He's called a servitor, Supreme Personality. So he is the expansion of the Lord, but at the same time, he is the devotee of the Lord. So there's many examples like that. Like for example, in Ramayana, we have Lord Ram and his other three brothers. Other three brothers are also incarnations of Vishnu, but they all are devotees of Lord Ram. Right? In this way, we see Sudarshan Chakra also comes in this category. Text 5. O Sudarshan Wheel, you are religion, you are truth, you are encouraging statements, you are sacrifice, and you are the enjoyer of the fruits of sacrifice. You are the maintainer of the entire universe, and you are the supreme transcendental prowess in the hands of Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the original vision of the Lord, and therefore you are known as Sudarshan. Everything has been created by your activities, and therefore you are all pervading. Purport. The word Sudarshan means auspicious vision. So Sudarshan means Su and Darshan. Su means auspicious and Darshan means vision. So it's called as auspicious vision. From Vedic instructions, we understand that this material world is created by the glance of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sa Aikshata, Sa Asrajata. The Supreme Personality of Godhead glanced over the Mahat Tattva or the total material energy, and when it was agitated, everything came into existence. Western philosophers sometimes think that original cause of creation was a chunk that exploded. If one thinks of this chunk as total material energy, the Mahat Tattva, one can understand that the chunk was agitated by the glance of the Lord. And thus, Lord's glance is the original cause of material creation. So here, the glance of the Lord, you know, is spoken about. So let's try to understand the importance of this statement, the glance of the Lord. Now, Mahat Tattva, let's understand what is Mahat Tattva. So Mahat Tattva means the unmanifested material nature. What do you mean by unmanifested material nature? Material nature has not come into action. That is called as unmanifested material nature. Currently, what we are seeing is the manifestation of the material nature or manifested material nature. So all this earth, water, fire, air, ether, everything was there, you know, in unmanifested form. And that together, that lump was called as Mahatattva. It's called as Mahatattva. Now let's try to understand about the Supreme Personality, Krishna. Now Lord is called as Adi Purusha. Adi Purusha. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadir Adi Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Adi means the first personality or very old personality who looks very young always. He is the one. Adi Purusha basically means the one who eternally exists even before any creation. He is called as Adi Purusha. Now all of us, we write our name and we write our father's name. Prabhupada gives this example. And then our father might be writing his name and his father's name. His father might be writing his name and his father's name. And when it goes on and on and on and on, and we trace back to the father of the father of the father of the father, finally we'll end up at one point, one personality, and that personality is this Adi Purusha. Sometimes people ask, who is the father of God? God does not have a father. If he has a father, then how can he be God? God does not have an origin. He is the origin. He does not have an origin, but he is the origin. From him comes everything. So he's called as Adi Purusha. He is a very, very, he's the oldest personality. Oldest personality. Now Adi Purusha, when he is there, so at that time, when the entire creation was not there. Now when these Mayavadis, they say that the Lord is an illusion, or this form of the Lord is an illusion, or it's an illusion. This entire jagat is mithya or whatever, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead who comes in a form is an illusion or is an illusion. So we can understand, even when this entire material nature was not there, even at that time Lord was there in his original form, lying down on Ananta Shesha Mahavishnu, on Karnodakshayi, on Karna Ocean. Now this is called understanding tattva, understanding the philosophy. When we understand the tattva, the truth about the Lord, then it's very easy for us to surrender to the Supreme Person. When we don't understand tattva and we just connect with him as a sentiment, like I remember we had taken a test on that one round chanting test, you know, we had taken. So we had asked, you know, why Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead? So one person has written, because I like him very much. Now, you like, so is Supreme Personality. Now, suppose you stop liking, so it means he's not a Supreme Personality at that time. And then the other person wrote the answer saying, Krishna is supreme because whenever I chant his name, I feel a lot of satisfaction. Now suppose we start getting satisfaction by chanting some other name, then that person becomes supreme. This is called a sentiment. Sentiment is good, but that sentiment should be backed with the philosophy. Only when it is backed with the philosophy, only when we understand who is that supreme and why he is supreme. So at that time, it's very easy for us to do bhakti. Very easy for us to do bhakti. Even if anyone comes and tries to convert us, we'll not be getting converted to any of the different religions. We'll understand that what I'm doing is perfect. Perfect. You see, sometimes even when it comes to our relatives or anyone who is worshipping the Lord out of just sentiment, it is much, much better than the atheistic people, but it's not the ultimate. When someone worships with sentiment and someone comes and says, No, I don't think you should do it like this. You should do it like this. This vrata is not that great. This vrata should be done. Now, since the person does not know the philosophy or does not know the truth behind that worship that he's doing, does not know the essence behind the worship that he's doing, does not know the essence behind the vrata that he's doing, or does not know the essence behind or the philosophy behind the devotional activities that the person is doing, it's very easy to divert that person to something else. And that's what is happening in India. From time immemorial, it's so strong. The culture is so strong in India. But now in this age of Kali, no one knows what they're doing. They just know that they have to do. Some festival comes and whatever they have been doing, the family tradition, they do. In fact, when we tell people chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, this is a very, very important mantra. This is called as Maha Mantra, the great deliverer mantra. People say that, No, from last 50 years we have been chanting this mantra. So how can we chant this mantra now? And then you ask, where is this mantra given? And where is this, where is it recommended to chant? No, we don't know. We just chant. Right? So without understanding when we do, then it's very difficult to carry on bhakti. Very difficult. In fact, we see that when it comes to even different personalities who worship demigods also, they also don't know why they're worshiping demigods. They just know that, you know, they have to do some business. They don't know who demigods are. They don't know who they are, who or they themselves are. They don't know the relationship. So only when we understand the tattva and when we start worshipping, now the person cannot be shaken by any other personality coming in his life to just divert that person to any other thing. And today, that is the reason more and more atheistic people are coming into picture. Because more importance is given to science. Now, when you're not able to explain a particular activity that you're doing with respect to some bona fide shastra or, you know, a bona fide philosophy, then people around who are so-called scientific, they start saying, no, this is just sentiment. This is just superstition. Or, what is the famous, what are the different buzzwords that they use? This is just fake, this is just bogus, and so on and so forth. Why? Because we are not able to explain. Only when we are now, at least for your kids, you should know, they are going to ask questions. Why are you doing this particular thing? And if you're not able to answer, they will never follow. And such people become atheistic. Such people become atheistic. Fake, yes. Yes. Such people become atheistic. So in this way, we understand that understanding the Supreme Lord in Tattva, in truth, is very, very important. And that's what we are trying to do. He is Adi Purusha. He does not have an origin. And if he has an origin, he cannot be God. So he does not have an origin. Okay. And from him comes everything. He is the first personality. And when he is the first personality, then we have to understand that even in the absence of material nature, he was present. So how can material nature put him in illusion? So here comes the argument for Mayavadis that Lord cannot be put into illusion. And when we call, or when they call themselves as Narayan, so how can Narayan be in illusion? They say that we are God, but we are in illusion. How can Narayan be in illusion? Because Narayan is Adi Purusha, right? And we cannot be Narayan because we have an origin. We have an origin. We can easily trace our origin. And unfortunately, the Western philosophy or the Western teaching says we have come from monkey. So we all have Gotra, right? We all have Gotra. Gotra means what is our origin. So when we say that we have Gotra, so there are seven Saptarishis. From them, you know, we have some link. Like we have Kashyapa Gotra, and then, you know, some other Gotras are there, Achyuta Gotra. So if we have come from monkey, then our Gotra should be Markata Gotra. Yes, but we are not Markata Gotra. We have not come from monkeys. We have a lineage, and that, you know, is connected to the Supreme Personality, because that starts from Supreme Personality. That is called as Parampara. So we all are in that Parampara. And that Parampara starts from Supreme Personality of God. It doesn't start abruptly anywhere. It has to start from that origin, from that point. Now let's try to understand, after understanding who is Supreme, let's try to understand how he creates. So now when this Mahatattva is created, so at that time, the Lord just glances on the Mahatattva, and the Mahatattva gets agitated. The three modes of material nature manifests at that particular point of time, Sattva, Raja and Tama. And the entire creation starts at that time. And the secondary creator, Brahma, also comes into picture at that time. This is how the Lord creates. This is called as Sa-Aikshata. Sa-Aikshata means just by glancing he did creation. So is Supreme Personality. When we glance, what happens? Nothing. Nothing happens when we glance. So we are Bindu. And so he's Sindhu. And his glance is so auspicious that the entire world is created. Entire world gets created. All the living beings who are in slumber, they become active. Just by his glance. So in this way, we understand the importance of the Lord's glance. And when he glances, all these things happen. In fact, what to talk about glance? Even when he just desires, no, things manifest. Like for example, when Krishna had a fight with Jarasandha, sometime later we can discuss the pastime in detail. So there was a personality called Jarasandha, and he fought with Krishna. So he fought for, I guess, 16 times he fought, and Krishna just defeated him very easily. And actually, why every time Krishna would defeat him and not kill him was, because every time he was defeated, he would get all the demons, you know, from all around the world to that place. And it was very, very easy. it was very, very easy for Krishna to defeat those people at one place. Then again, you know, he'll just leave Jarasandha. Again, he'll get more people from all over the world. And again, Krishna would defeat. And like this, Krishna defeated most of them. And now in 17th time, when this shameless person came to fight, Krishna told Balaram, see, we have already finished our job. Now I don't want to fight with this person. I'm going to just walk from here. And even our citizens are becoming terrified because of this fight, which is happening again and again. So now I want to create a different place and transfer the citizens there. In no time, just by Krishna's desire, entire Dwarka was created. In no time. And this was not created haphazard. It was created in a very, very creative fashion. It was a planned city, a very, very planned city. And we see that this planning was so nice. The entire planning was so nice. Gardens were there, palaces were there, big storied buildings were there, fountains were there, and then even the decoration in the entire palace, those were there, the delicate decorations were there, just by the desire of Krishna. And just by the desire of Krishna, all the devotees, all the residents of Mathura were transferred overnight, even without their notice. Everyone was sleeping. And next day morning, when they opened their eyes, they were there in a new house, in a new place called Dwarka. This is called Krishna's power. This is called the power of Supreme Personality of God. He is the person, just by glancing, he can create. He is the person, just by breathing, exhaling, he can create so many Brahmandas. He is the person, just by desire, he can create a beautiful city altogether. He is that person whom we worship. He is that Supreme Personality, Krishna. Now when we understand that he is the person whom we are worshipping, who is the greatest of the greatest personality, Ishwara, the Supreme Controller, creator of all creators. So at that time we understand that he is the right person whom we can surrender to. And Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. It's a very, very valid line. Krishna is saying, I am the creator, come and surrender to me. Why are you going here and there? And since he is the creator, he can take care of all the activities that we have been doing from so many lifetimes, all the reactions, all the papa from so many lifetimes. Now are we understanding whom are we worshipping? He is that personality called Krishna. He is that person. And he himself says in Bhagavad Gita, I am the person, eternal person. He himself says, Aham Sarvasva Prabhavo, there is no greater person than me. Matta Sarva Pravartate. And then he says, Iti Matva Bhajante Maam Buddha Bhava Samanvita. Who can worship me? Who can understand this fact that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And who are those who understand that he is Supreme Personality of Godhead? Buddha Bhava, the one who are very, very intelligent. Only they will be able to understand that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Others will never understand. And Krishna says that the others are mudha, others are foolish. They will never be able to understand me because they don't have that qualification. They are not very intelligent. And they will get involved into various abominable activities. And they will not worship me, they will worship various other demigods. He tells this in Bhagavad Gita. Read this in 7th chapter, 20th shloka onwards you can read. And also in 9th chapter, Krishna mentions about these aspects. So in this way, when we understand the truth about Krishna, it's very easy to surrender to Krishna. Then no one in this world can shake our faith on Krishna. So in this way, Lord created just by his glance. And in this way, Lord maintains the entire universe just by his energies. Just by his energies. Today, just imagine if the gravitation force which is there on this earthly planet, if it is withdrawn by the Lord, we are so proud. We say that it's science. Gravitation is science, we say. Right? But this science which we are calling science, it is just the study of existing things. Gravitation already existed. Nothing new has happened. Gravitation already existed. And we already knew, our scriptures talk about this Shakti called, what is that? Gurutva Akarshaka Shakti. It is mentioned in Shastras. But unfortunate people who don't read Shastras started to understand that there is something called as Gurutvakarshaka Shakti or gravitational force only when a person was sitting under a tree and an apple fell on his head. And then he said, oh, everything is falling down. So this is called as gravitational force. When this scientist, he discovered this, then people started believing. So in this way, we see that things are already existing. Lord is maintaining everything very nicely by his own energies, by his own powers. But the only thing is, we are not able to have the faith on the Lord that he is doing it. That faith comes when we have the satsang like this. That faith comes when we start reading Bhagavatam. That faith comes when we read Bhagavad Gita and understand through philosophy and not just sentiment. So in this way, when we understand, then when the scientists are saying that it was just a big blast, there was some chunk, there was a point, and from there it was a big blast and this entire world got created, then we'll understand what point they're talking about and what was that blast. Firstly, a blast cannot create such beautiful, detailed, architectured setup, which is called as material world. Not possible. A blast cannot create. Only a person who is very, very creative, a person who knows the details of this world, can create this world very nicely. And he is Supreme Personality of God. So we say that Supreme Personality's glance created. It was not a blast which created this entire world. And unfortunately, people are spending so much of money just to prove something called as God particle. Now it's really very difficult. For sure, they will end up in nothing. But it feels very pity that human life is meant to worship God and not to discover God. Everything is already mentioned. People have already surrendered and if they have seen God, they have reciprocated with God and they have given scriptures to us. Why are we supposed to do now various activities to discover God? Even now, when we read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, very clearly we understand who is Supreme Personality of God. Krishna is Supreme Personality of God. And so, in every place, like for example here, now we have this line, text 3, you see, it is said, Ambarisha Uvacha. When Shiva is speaking, it is called as Rudra Uvacha. When Brahma is speaking, it is called as Brahma Uvacha. When the four Kumaras are speaking, it is called as Sanaka Uvacha. And like this, Arjuna Uvacha, Dhritarashtra Uvacha, Sanjaya Uvacha. But when it comes to Krishna, it is not said Krishna Uvacha, it is said Bhagavan Uvacha. He is that Supreme Personality of God. Only for him, this word Bhagavan is used in Bhagavatam, in Bhagavad Gita and all the other scriptures. This is called as understanding Lord in Tattva. And this is what Amrish Maharaj is saying. Amrish Maharaj is offering this prayer. What is he saying? You are religion, your dharma, your truth, you are encouraging statements, you are sacrifice, and you are the enjoyer of the fruits of sacrifice. So this is what we discussed the other day in our different philosophies class, that there is one truth that exists. Can someone text me here? What is that truth? One truth that exists. What is that one truth? Everyone forgot? What is that one truth that exists, that Achintya Bheda Veda Tattva talks about? Krishna is there and Krishna and devotee. Krishna and his energies, Lord and his energies. This is the one truth that exists. This is that one truth. That's what he's saying. That you are the truth. You are the absolute truth. You are the maintainer of the entire universe. We discussed about this. He's the maintainer. And you are the supreme transcendental prowess in the hands of Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now this description is talking about Sudarshan and it is valid for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the original vision of the Lord, Sudarshana. And therefore you are known as Sudarshan. Everything has been created by your activities and therefore you are all pervading. So Lord is all pervading also. He knows everything. Whatever exists in this world, he knows everything about it. Now currently whatever situation we are going through, Lord knows about it. Very clearly knows what are people going through on this earthly planet. How many people are dying? How many people are taking birth? Which virus is spreading around? Which virus is troubling? Everything Lord knows. Who created the virus also? Everything in this world is created by the Lord himself. Right? So everything comes from the Lord. There's nothing which comes apart from the Lord. So in this way we understand that we might not know what is happening around, but Lord is all knower. He knows everything that is happening around. He's all pervading. He's there in every single atom. Every single atom. So when we surrender to Supreme Personality of Godhead and when we start abiding by his plans, we abide by his plans with this understanding that he is all pervading. He knows everything. He knows my past, my present. He knows my future also. He has the best plan. Let me surrender to Krishna. And when a person gets this understanding, when a devotee gets this understanding and when the devotee starts practicing bhakti, so that time, the devotee becomes very, very strong when it comes to practice of bhakti. And he doesn't see anything apart from Krishna as the goal of life. And in this way, we understand that Amrish Maharaj is offering prayers. The prayers will become more and more intense and very nice and very philosophical. So tomorrow also we'll see that what further prayers Amrish Maharaj is offering. And what can we learn more about the Lord? So now we're going to understand the Lord in truth. Very, very important sessions. Now henceforth, now whatever sessions we will be having now, we're going to talk about the truth about the Lord. Tattva, about the Supreme Personality of God. So with this, I would like to take questions now. One year of these happening, is it mentioned in upcoming verses, Prabhu? Durvasa running away and coming back. Yes, it comes in the upcoming verses. I never, never think I speak from my own bald head. I think I speak from Shastra. How to control, if I miss any question, please, you know, post the question back. How to control that ego or destroy that ego? This ego can be, see, we cannot destroy the ego. Currently, what we are having is called as false ego. False ego means I am something. I am great. This is false ego. What is a true ego? I am the servant of great personality called Krishna. That is called true ego. So only thing that we can do is convert this false ego into true ego. That is called as devotional service. So bhakti will convert that false ego into true ego. False ego means I am great. I and mine, that is false ego. True ego means Krishna is great and I am his servant. That is true ego. So with the practice of bhakti, slowly this false ego will be transformed to true ego. This will happen. Is reading Krishna books while chanting is fine? No. Obviously not. So we're not supposed to read anything. And we're not supposed to see anything. Nor we're supposed to hear anything apart from Maha Mantra. Chanting means Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Whatever is speaking is going into the ear. That's it. That is chanting. You cannot now, you know, you say, reading Krishna book, some person might say, I want to watch Mahabharat serial and chant. That is also Krishna conscious. I want to see little Krishna movie and chant. No. Chanting means just chanting the Maha Mantra and hearing the Maha Mantra. Not doing anything, not imagining anything also. That is called as chanting. That is called mantra meditation. What's the difference between not having self-respect and being humble? Could you please give some example? Okay, that's a very nice question. So now when we say humble, there's always a confusion about depression, about losing self-respect and being humble. Now, when it comes to depression, when it comes to losing self-respect, that basically means that I cannot do anything. I cannot do anything. This is what is the mood of the person. And when he feels that I cannot do anything, that person goes into depression, loses self-respect. But what do you mean by humility? I cannot do anything, but I am dependent on Krishna. He can do everything. That is called as humility. That I am good for nothing, but Krishna is great. And he can use me as an instrument and he can, you know, do various activities. That is called as humility. Humility means having complete faith on Krishna that he is that Supreme Personality. He is great. And I am just a bindu. I am small. And what is losing self-respect? I am good for nothing. I cannot do anything. I don't know why I have taken birth. I don't know why my parents gave me birth. This is called as depression. And the person doesn't see any goal. He's depressed person, you ask him, what is the goal of life? He doesn't have any goal. A person who loses self-respect, he loses self-respect because he feels the goal has gone. I've lost the goal. But for a devotee, he knows goal is Krishna. He is the origin. He is the end. He is the personality. And this goal has to be achieved. And this goal is actually providing me all the necessary things. This goal is actually providing me the energy. And Krishna is so great that he can do anything. But I am useless fellow. This is called as humility. Hope you understand the difference now. Humility and losing self-respect or depression. Depression means the person loses the goal. The person feels good for nothing. Humility means the person feels that he is good for nothing. But he is completely dependent on Krishna and his goal is fixed to attain Krishna. That is humility. Oh, this is a big paragraph. Today I was reading Prabhupada conversation with Pope. in book Science of Self-Realization regarding Krishna and Christ, it is said in the conversation that chanting Krishna, Krishna or Christ is same. But I have a question. How come comparing Krishna with Christ is same as Krishna is Supreme Personality while Jesus Christ is Son of God? Or correct me if Jesus is the only Son of God. So see, when it comes to Prabhupada, Prabhupada is a very broad-minded person. Now when he's speaking to the Pope, he can understand that they are already following some religion. Okay. So Prabhupada is very clear. Prabhupada says that whatever you're chanting, just keep chanting. Just keep chanting. I mean, chant the names of God. And here, Christ is the bona fide representative of God. So just by chanting his name also, you'll realize the ultimate truth. It means when someone takes shelter of Guru, then the person can realize the ultimate truth. So here also, you know, when we see that the person is chanting, you know, the names of Christ or, you know, whatever. So at that time, you know, we can understand that the person will get purified to some extent. Not complete purification will happen. Okay. Some extent purification will happen. And then finally, the person will come to the level of chanting the names of God. So here when Prabhupada is saying that chanting, Prabhupada is talking about chanting Krishna's name and chanting some name in your religion also. In fact, in one of the places, Prabhupada says that you might chant, you know, whatever names of God, it is there in your religion, he says. So this is the broad-mindedness of Prabhupada. When someone asked Prabhupada, have you come here to convert all the Christians into Hindus? Prabhupada said, no. I'm here to make Christians into better Christians. That is the reason I'm here. And so Prabhupada was a very broad-minded person. So when he is making the statement, you know, we have to understand the crux of it. So the essence of his statement is, what you people are doing, it, do it in a better way. Do it in a better way. And what we are doing is similar to what you're doing. So there is no difference. So Prabhupada always tried telling people that there is no difference between what you're doing and what we are doing. So in this way, Prabhupada would connect, you know, to different personalities. How Krishna consciousness is explored by dumb people. Maybe my ignorance, why we are seeing Lord as masculine, Purusha. How Krishna consciousness is explored by dumb people. It's very difficult. Dumb people are also deaf. Or deaf people are dumb. If they are just dumb, so you know, they are hearing Mahamantra, they are hearing about Krishna, that will help them to deliver themselves. But when it comes to people who are deaf and dumb, it's very difficult. So for them, they can just see the lotus form of the Lord, beautiful form of the Lord. They can have prasadam, and you know, they can assist in services, right? So unfortunately, because of the past karma, they get such a body. But when they get involved in some service by taking darshan of the Lord, by pulling the cart of Jagannath, by having prasad, automatically the person gains a lot of spiritual credits, and the next body the person will get will be a very healthy body by which the person will be able to practice bhakti nicely. Why are we seeing the Lord as masculine, Purusha? Actually, Krishna is the only Purusha. He is the only Purusha and all of us are Prakriti. Sorry. It is said that Krishna is the only Purusha. He is the Shaktiman and we all are Shakti. We all are his energy. You remember this different types of energies that we had discussed? Antaranga Shakti, that is internal energy, Bahiranga Shakti, external energy, and Tathastra Shakti, marginal energy. And we are that marginal energy. And when it comes to this marginal energy, so it's an energy, and energy means feminine, Prakriti. So we all are Prakriti, and Krishna is the only Purusha. He is the only Purusha. Is it correct that Shakti Swarupa, as we know that energy is not created, neither destroyed, only transferred. Could please some bona fide answer for it? Krishna is that transcendental energy. See, Krishna owns energy. Okay, Krishna is not the energy. Krishna is a source of energy. Always remember this. And yes, this energy can neither be created nor be destroyed. It's Krishna, it's like, it's Krishna's qualities. These energies are Krishna's qualities. They eternally exist. Eternally exists with Krishna, always. But they go from one, you know, when it comes to this modern theory of energy transferring from one point to another. So we can see this, you know, that different things get transformed into different objects or different bodies or whatever. So like that, the energy transfer is happening. But when it comes to the absolutely changing the energy, it is not possible. So the Bahiranga Shakti cannot become Antaranga Shakti or Tathastra Shakti. And Tathastra Shakti, okay, let me put it in English. So external energy cannot become internal energy. And the marginal energy, that is we can never become external energy or internal energy. So like this, the energies are intact, absolute in their absolute nature. But externally, we might see that there are some transformation, those are happening, at least in this material world. But there is no transformation or whatever in spiritual world. And there is no transformation when it comes to us also. As Tathastra Shakti, as the marginal potency of the Lord, there is no transformation in us. So like this, we can understand this particular aspect of Shakti of the Lord. Prabhu, one question. In whole universe, only Earth has us, and scriptures don't talk about any other planet other than Earth. Why? No, scriptures talk about so many planets. Now, scriptures talk about Swarga Loka. It's a planet. Loka means planet. We discussed this in yesterday or day before yesterday's class. Chandra Loka. It's a Loka. Surya Loka. It's a Loka. So people exist there. But the body is favorable to that particular planet. So sun has got fiery body. So we have Surya Dev, right? So he has a fiery body. Similarly, when it comes to moon, so there are celestial bodies on the moon. And when it comes to the other heavenly planets, the celestial body is there. When it comes to Brahma Loka, there the bodies are made up of intelligence. So that is Buddhi Swarupa. So in this way, we understand that, scriptures talk about different planets having different bodies. So they call it as Loka. They always call it as Loka. Swarga Loka, Bhu Loka, Buhar Loka, then Narka Loka, yes, Swarga Loka, and all the other Brahma Loka, Tapa Loka, Jana Loka, Ma Loka. So all these lokas. Loka means where people stay. So scriptures talk about it. Aren't sages meant to have control over all senses? I understand Durvasa was born out of Shiva's anger, but he didn't have any control over his anger. See, when it comes to sages and their anger, number of times they get angry can be counted and can be accounted in the scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam. So they are very, very great. Only sometimes they get angry. This is called as still their anger is under control. For us, and also they will become angry when they want to become angry. So Durvasa Muni now, he wanted to become angry, and there are some reasons why he became angry. We'll discuss at the end of the entire session why he became angry. So there is a reason behind. So Durvasa Muni, Bhrigu Muni, all these great personalities, Lord Shiva, when all these great personalities become angry, or like Indra, he becomes lusty, sometimes. So all these characteristics, which we see, all the anarthas that we see, are countable anarthas. Or only countable number of times, people, all these great personalities are exhibited. So it can be accounted in the Shastra called Srimad Bhagavatam. But when it comes to us, our things are uncontrolled completely. Even we cannot account in our diaries that we write every day. Diary will be full if we start writing about it. So that is the difference. So sages will control their anger. But whenever it comes to setting things right, in the right perspective, even here Durvasa Muni had said something right. We'll discuss that towards the end of this chapter, what he tried doing. So setting things right and for the good or well-being of the entire community or people in general, these great sages will become angry. Or else they will not. If Christ is a representative of God, then Christians who are followers of representative are not qualified. Yes. The ones who are purely following the teachings of Christ, they are qualified. Prabhupada gives this example in, I think, 9th commandment of Bible. It is given, thou shalt not kill. Now, when it is given, thou shalt not kill, then how can you eat meat? How can you kill these animals? This is the argument that is given. So now they turn that and they say that, it is said that thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill refers to human beings, they say. If that was the case, then Christ would have said thou shalt not murder. Why did he say thou shalt not kill? Right? So in this way, when someone follows Christ with proper mood and purely follows the teachings without any concoction, then we can say that they'll be qualified. They'll be qualified to come to a very good state. But nowadays, we find very, very, very few people, who are pure Christians or pure other religionists. Even when it comes to the scriptures also, I was talking to one of my friend who follows a religion which you're mentioning. So that that friend of mine, he was saying that unfortunately now the entire actually the scripture what these people follow is just the compilation of letters written by the prophet. So they started. So my friend was sharing that these letters which have been put have been distorted now, unfortunately. So teachings are not there as it is. If that was the case, if teachings would have been proper, then how is it that you know people are becoming so rampant and people are becoming so demoniac in their behavior, right? So anyone who follows the representative of the God as it is, the pure teachings as given, then you know we can say that they're qualified. But if they don't follow, what to talk about them? Even in India, there are so many people, so many acharyas who have come, but there are many people who say that I follow this acharya, but they are demonic. They're demonic in their behavior. That basically means they're not following the acharya purely. They are using their own concocted mind not to get some things done. So what to talk about other religions? Let's see in our own religion. You know, there we ourselves we see so many people are not able to follow the acharyas properly. So like that. So yes, Christ is a bona fide representative. Even Prophet Muhammad is a bona fide representative. Buddha, you know, is God himself. And even the other personalities, other religions are bona fide religions. You know, and the representatives are bona fide. I happened to read Bible once out of curiosity. There it said that Jesus is the creator and destroyer. The same is written in our scriptures. About our Lord, does that mean Jesus, Allah are born out of Krishna's energy? Now, this is difficult for me to answer because I have not read about it. Yes. When it comes, Jesus always talked about his father. He said that he talked about an eternal father. And when it comes to Allah, you know, he is that supreme personality. And the same supreme personality we are talking about. So this supreme personality creates and destroys. This supreme personality creates and destroys. Now, are these personalities same? Are they similar to Krishna? This is a question mark. This is a question mark, you know, for people in general. And born out of Krishna's energy, you know, everything in this world is Krishna's energy only. Nothing is out of Krishna's energy. Any reason, Prabhu, why external energy is represented as sister of Krishna? There is no reason as such. So, see, all these energies of the Lord which are there, they are actually personalities. Like the internal energy of the Lord is Srimati Radharani. External energy of the Lord is Durga. Marginal energy are we all entities. We all living entities. So, we all are persons. We all are persons. We all are personalities. So, every energy, you know, is represented by a person. Like, for example, Ganga. She is a personality. Yamuna, she is a personality. Surya is a personality. Vayu is a personality. So like that, you know, all these energies are represented as personalities. And they all have relation with Krishna. So here we see external energy of the Lord is has a relation of sister in Krishna Leela as Subhadra. We see that. Okay, so done for the day. Shiva belongs to external energy. Shiva belongs to a different energy altogether. That is called a Shambhu Tattva. So Shambhu Tattva is, so we have Shakti Tattva, Jiva Tattva, Vishnu Tattva, Ishvara Tattva and Shambhu Tattva. So Shambhu Tattva is like completely, different than the other three Tattvas. It is like he's similar to God, but he is not Supreme Personality. It's like the difference between milk and curd. This is what is given in Brahma Samhita. The difference between Krishna and Lord Shiva is like milk and curd. So they're same, they're similar, but they have differences. So that is the thing. So he belongs to, we cannot call, you know, which in which he belongs to. When it comes to Shambhu Tattva, when we're talking about Rudra of this world, you know, he can be categorized in living entity. When we are talking about Sadashiv, then he can be categorized in this Vishnu Tattva. Right? So like that. So it depends whom we are talking about, Rudra or Sadashiv.